This recording will be for the regular meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education held on Wednesday, March 5th, 2008 at Cottonwood Elementary School in Orangeville, Utah. The meeting will start at 7 p.m.
Time to start, so we welcome you all. We're glad you could be with us tonight. We will begin by having a Pledge of Allegiance. Put your flags over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll put down the agenda. The first item are the consent items, the warrants and the minutes, and the financial reports. We just received the financial report, so we'll wait until next month to vote on those. That's the warrants and minutes. Are there any questions?
I have no questions. I would make the motion that we accept them as we've received them.
Fine with me.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are very pleased tonight to have Employee Recognition Award. This goes to Carrie Lake, and I was very excited about this. I want to read to you what the person that nominated you said about you. Carrie is an outstanding employee. He has always done his job with a great attitude. When another employee retired, Carrie took up the slack and did almost two jobs without complaining, without a replacement, until a replacement could be hired. All of the maintenance workers do more than most realize, from pushing snow in early mornings to fixing freezers on the weekends. Carrie represents what any employer would want: hardworking, great attitude, honest, and very knowledgeable. Carrie is an important part of our school district, and we certainly could echo that. Would you come up here, please, and we'll...
Let's go around here.
That's a good idea.
Do you have any idea who?
Hey, how you doing?
No, we don't. It came anonymous. But we all concurred. No, I want you over here to the side, and we'll have you take a picture.
Okay.
Turn that around.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I forgot to suck it in.
Congratulations,
you earned
it
very much. So
you get the unique opportunity to work in all the schools and with all the great employees that are here. To be included among them is really an honor.
We have lots of positive comments that come from all of our schools about you. So
I think your attitude is contagious, and
lots of good things.
Congratulations can happen to a better man.
Yes. And to his family that's supporting. That's nice too, on weekends and after hours and all the things that you do as well.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Stay with us, but you don't have to be funny either.
That's
right.
Well, unless we have the car, and she doesn't really want to stay.
Really? Well, you can. We understand. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to you. We would like to follow. Laurel, do you have that?
Pardon me? Oh.
The form you just read.
What did I do with that? Did I give it to him?
I have it on my computer.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you might want to have that as well. We will go ahead. We have some personnel actions and names for approval.
Yeah, we have need to approve an educational assistant for a special needs student at Huntington Elementary, and presenting the name of Emily MacArthur. This is actually Josh White's wife, who teaches math for us. There's just been a delay in getting her maiden name changed. So on the Social Security card, it's still Emily MacArthur. I would recommend the board approve her for that position.
Okay.
So moved.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a letter of request for unpaid leave.
Yeah, you don't have a copy of the letter, but we did have a written request. The request is for Heather Parsons at Green River High School for unpaid maternity leave. That will go from April 14th until May 19th. She will return for the last week of school to get report cards and grades and everything done and wrapped up, but we'll need that time before I have a baby.
What does she teach?
She teaches family and consumer science, home ec. Oh, those are older.
Are they going to be able to get a long-term substitute?
Yes, they have. Our biggest concern is whether we can find a teacher for next year because she is planning to stay home. So, but I would recommend the board approve the unpaid maternity leave for her. She doesn't qualify for the family medical leave because she hasn't been employed for a year. So.
Okay, Sarah Wilson.
I'll move so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a meeting with Cattlemen's Association, and we have Mayor Gordon and Mr. Livingston. We're happy to have you with us and let you present.
Okay, the Cattlemen's meeting was last Friday night, and Jerry and myself went to the planning on dealing with Mary, but circumstances for her were not in favor that night, so we thought we would come and present tonight and let you know what they were, how they're feeling and what they're thinking. As a city, we were very supportive of getting this road done, as you know, going up to the junior high, and wanted to see that completed because the other road is, we're going to be doing some work on the other road this year and putting some oil on and widening it out as much as possible, but it will never be a satisfactory road because it was never intended as such. It was absolutely just the right of way for the cemetery. Anyway, the Cattlemen Association is not against letting that ground go, but they would not, they would prefer to not have it purchased, but they would like to have it exchanged for a piece of ground of like value. Lee McElpain had the paper, I think it was probably one that maybe you've given them a year or something ago, or longer, and I think it was for $35,000. I remember 30 something. And they felt like that was fair. We haven't had an upgrade on it, but he didn't think that, that was out there. But instead of having the money, they would prefer some ground, and since the meeting, I have to talk to Steve Larson. He wasn't at the meeting that night because he had some surgery done, but I talked to him over the weekend, and he said, you know, going up, I always call it Gentry Road. I don't know if that is Gentry Road, but that's what I've always known it as. And you go past the Cattlemen's Wire Corral there, and there is a piece of ground there going up towards the mountain, and going towards the east or the west rather, and I guess there's a for sale sign on it, a realtor sign there. I haven't even had a chance to get there through the kind of weekend, but he thought that might be a very good exchange if the school district wanted to purchase that. I have no idea how much it was, as I said. He says that the realtor sign is on that. Ira Hatch just definitely said that they would prefer that rather than money. They like to have a piece of ground.
Where is this ground? Can someone explain to me?
It's up the more. Go ahead.
It's right up past the reservoir. I think it's the reservoir.
Okay.
Like you're heading up towards the mountain.
You know if you are going. Like
yeah, I know the road you're talking about now.
Okay, they just go on further than where Don lives, and they have the cattlemen have some corrals there, and I think just this side of that, and maybe a little bit the other side. Kevin Gordon owns some of that. He's purchased. But then he tells me there's quite a piece of ground, and I don't know the acreage. I haven't had a chance
That's my next question. How would be, you know, comparable as far as the... I don't think the school district can use extra property up there. I don't know what we'd ever do with it, but if it was similar in value and that, it certainly wouldn't be a problem to do something like that. For us to pay a couple hundred thousand dollars for property we wouldn't use.
No, I don't think, I don't know that you have to have the whole chunk, and I have no idea. At this point, I have not had, like I said, it was Friday night, we had that, and then we've had, I've had funerals, and I just tried to get hold of you on Monday, and so I just haven't got up that road to see, but anyway, he's chosen. And that's only a suggestion. There are other areas. I think there's some acreage on the road to Cleveland going down that road. But I just said that they would like something that was of equal value. I just kind of thought
myself. We have property in Elmo.
I mentioned that to them when I met with them before, and there was no interest whatsoever.
Now, Mary, do you know, are they interested in exchanging their entire piece of property there next to the
I got that impression.
No, yeah, just a little strip.
No, nope, I got the impression. Okay. Well, because to leave a little bit probably wouldn't, you know.
Too many
And Jerry has spoke to Fred Allred about getting a little portion of his, and at first he was very, well, how was
you're
it? Very much against it, but then the second time not so much against it, maybe Jerry?
Yeah, the second time he said he would sell it if he could talk his kids instead of going along with him. But he doesn't know how they would. So that was kind of a positive.
Yeah, it was a move in the right direction. If that doesn't happen, that road would it just wouldn't be straight. It would curve off, which wouldn't be so bad. Certainly be still better than where we're at right now. I'm sure everyone is pretty well aware that Heinzen City now has put crosswalks up there on the existing roads going to the junior high, and we have two of the ladies that go in the morning and in the afternoon. Not just for junior high kids, but there's a lot of the elementary kids that get on and get off there, and as children are apt to do, they get off and visit in the middle of the road. So UDOT did a survey, and they recommended that we did that, and the neighbors were anxious that there was some extra help there for the children. So we, Huntington City, has done that and painted the crosswalks and stuff there. So I just wanted to get the information to you that the Calamans gave us, that they were interested, but that they didn't want a piece of ground rather than the finances.
Since they, I guess maybe you wouldn't know, but since they only meet once a year.
I did.
How would we?
I think they'd meet again, though.
If they needed it out.
Yeah, I said, oh, you're going to not do anything now. I better wait another whole year, because it was on the minutes from last year. And I said, this is really dragging on. And Lee just said, Lee McAtain is the chairman at this time, and or the president, and he just said, you know what, if he would come to us, the school board or whatever would come to us, he said we would have a meeting. He said it's not difficult to get that. I guess they just don't meet on a regular basis.
Well, I just don't know if their bylaws require that be done in a meeting, or whether it can be a poll on the phone of their members or
it
what.
It requires that it's in a meeting.
Would Lee be the person we contact?
Yes.
Okay.
So let me understand. Do you want the $35,000, and then they're going to purchase it along with putting their money in, or do they want the same and interchange
it
just
the
same? All they're
saying is that they really don't want the money.
They would like
they felt like if they had the money, they'd spend it.
But you'd have to find something that's exactly that amount or close to that amount.
Well, certainly monetary. I mean, where that ground is obviously more valuable, perhaps per acre, than if you're out on Blue Slate Hill.
True.
And that's what they were saying. Ira perhaps made it quite clear that he said we want value for value. So I kind of thought, as I said, I haven't gone out and studied that piece on the Moreland Road, but maybe there's 10 acres there, whereas this is 7. Is it 7, Jerry?
Seven.
7 something, yeah. So maybe the 10 acres there in monetary value would be the same as 7 right there. I'm just throwing that out. I don't know for sure, but that was where I was thinking. And that was, Keith mentioned that piece, and he's the secretary for the Cattlemen's, and I thought, huh, I didn't even know that was for sale, because that's what got me puzzled, is, well, where would you buy ground, or where would you, you know, get something, and that is where they bring their cows down too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think it would be a good spot if it's something that you'd like to do.
So Hillary, help me understand, and this will be my understanding from when I met with you and Jerry, was that the city was planning on purchasing that area where the road would go, and the school district would purchase the rest. Was that not what
you know, in talking to the council people and getting a feel for that. We they're feeling that we should work together and Huntington City not do all of it.
And on the road?
We would take care of the road, but I don't know how much the school district was willing to put out, whether they'd buy the ground and then we could do the road between us and stuff. Where it is a dedicated road pretty much to the junior high. When I first talked to Daryl, and maybe it was my misunderstanding, my misinterpretation, it could have been, because I've talked to Daryl since, and he said, oh no, Huntington City would, when we get the road done, then they would say, okay, now we want you to maintain it, in other words, take care of it and stuff. So, and I said, well, maybe, I didn't know whether the school district financially had funds to purchase the ground, plus through the road, and so.
Now, my understanding from, now this is 3 years ago,
okay,
when I investigated, was that the city has to own the road, the property upon which the road will be built in order for it to qualify to be done under special service district. Is that
what Daryl said? And we met with Daryl yesterday about some other stuff, fire hydrants and so forth, and I pointed him in this direction because I wanted to clarify and have my understanding. What he said basically was that the school district would purchase the ground and do the road, and then they would say to the city, take care of it, so to speak. But I don't know the funds, I don't know how much it would cost to make that road completely, and whether that's something that's in the budget. If not, then maybe it's something we can work together and share.
Okay, that's a different understanding than what they've given me, but if you just talked with him yesterday.
Is that what you understood?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I thought, and I had talked to Judy, you know, the treasurer, and she said, it would be a designated but in understanding that it would go to the junior high. Now, we had, originally, I think that's where perhaps I got a little confused, when Daryl brought the original plans in, it showed a potential road even going on and moving into the highway there. And so that's why I was thinking, well, it would be a Huntington Road, but then you had said that would, maybe that wouldn't be possible because you were looking at schools there in the future. So if it's just a road going straight to the junior high, then it would be more of the school's responsibility than if it was a city road. So maybe we just need to fine-tune that.
We need to check that out. I'm not sure that would be the case necessarily.
What he said originally, but because he said it would qualify for special service district funding and building the road.
In order for them to do it, it would require a municipality of such as the city to request the road.
The city would have
the school district wouldn't qualify for that.
Right. So we'll have to do some further checking.
Well, and Daryl, yesterday was quite a meeting, five or six people there looking at where the new fire hydrants were going in, and that was, it was quite complicated because of where the water is and what it isn't. It's not just where we want them, it's where we could put them. And yesterday was a crazy day for funeral stuff for me, and so I was in and out and running. But I did take a minute and talk to Daryl, and Jerry was there, and that was the understanding that I got, that there's nothing that says that we can't sit down and absolutely get it in. Yeah, and work it out a little better. But I wondered if the school board wanted to work with the Cattlemen's on getting that ground, or if you want me to find out how much it is that piece that's available, or you, or whatever. We can go. He said there was a sign on the fence up there. Like I said, I have not had a minute to go and do.
We can check that out.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That, and then we could come back and have something concrete in that way. Then Lee just said, and maybe not all the cattlemen would come, but it would be just enough to make those kind of decisions, because they were quite willing. It's just that I just thought it was strange because they just said, no, we don't want money because we'll spend it.
They weren't expecting that one.
Yeah, that's what I had said before. They asked us to trade property, and the only property that the school district had that they would, even in the vicinity remotely, was that property in Elmo. And they said, not only no, but goodness no.
Well, a bigger part of this now is whether or not the school district, if we would have to build the roadway,
that's a
huge cost in comparison to buying the property.
Yeah, that was not in the proposal.
What we were looking at is the question of whether we just bought the property where the roadway is and donated that to the city so that the special service then could come in and build the roads.
Which was the original.
Or whether we buy that and the rest of the property that's there in case in the future we could build a school there if we needed to. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to do some more checking with Darrell and special services on it.
I think the initial, in my mind, the beginning of the property is $35,000-$37,000. Not that I'm saying that's a little amount, but it's little compared to what the cost of putting the road in.
Absolutely. What
you had planned, I guess that was one of the reasons I thought we needed to come to make sure that we were all on the same page, mm-hmm. or at least in the same book.
Then the city could request special service district to put the road in. It wouldn't cost the city or the school district anything, other than the property.
They would have the road put in.
Yeah.
That was what we were pursuing originally. But like I said, I met with them first 3 years ago. But he said the city would have to. What happens then, of course, Darrell goes to the CID to get money for all the things. And it doesn't just come. It isn't all just grants. It just isn't. And so, and then with this cap that was put on, and now they're still wondering whether that's coming off, and there was a lot of money that was really lost to our area. I don't know if you understand that, how much was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked at the last meeting, is it lost? Do we have a chance of getting that back? Because Commissioner Citrus had said that they were trying to take this cap off. And I understood that it was in escrow, but whether it finds its way back to where it should have, is between that money and whoever has, the authority to move it. But anyway, the fact is that when Dale goes up there, it isn't just a question of, he goes up and gets so much grant, so much loan, and then it still has to be proven that it can be paid back. But I do know one thing, and that's for sure, that the longer we procrastinate, the higher the cost is.
Yeah.
I'm finding it so much, and I realize that you understand that too. So it's something that we really should. If we're going to do it, we really need to do it and get on it and move it. And I'm more than willing, and we're willing as a city to work with the school board and to, if you say, if Marie says, hey, mayor, council, find out this, what about that? Then I can put things before the council and we can meet with Darrell. So I would like to just kind of leave that in your hands to make that decision. And
Well,
bring it back to us and we'll negotiate.
Do any of you have a copy of that of the appraisal for the land?
Do you have one?
I have one at home. I can do it.
Okay.
I thought I brought one down when I brought that map. Didn't I?
You may have, but how old? I don't think I saw it.
I think it's 2 years old.
But I'll probably need that.
I don't know whether that works out about five dollars an interest, and I don't know whether that's still current or not. But those are things that we have to probably check out with, and maybe the lady that. That knows the price of the other one could give us an update on whether that is still viable or not.
Right.
Well, and part of it, the Townland Association, the members were understanding that they could sell it as building lots for much more than what we could afford to pay for it. But they are responsible contributing citizens.
They
want to help.
Yeah,
because they've been offered
Business, exactly. He's in commercial businesses, and that was the one thing we said. No, we don't attract there. Our children and grandchildren go to school there, and so yes, they're very much concerned
and civic minded, and
exactly.
Well, it looks to me like we ought to leave this in the hands of the district staff.
Yeah.
Find out what's going on
that.
And get answers to all these questions.
Yeah. And then we'll get with you, and if we have questions, we can kind of work it out. So thank you for doing that and giving us that information.
And Daryl and all of us get together.
Right.
Sometimes it's difficult to work when you're not sure, and that's why I brought that up with Daryl yesterday, to make sure that I did understand, because my first understanding probably wasn't as correct as it should have been. But we're more than willing to work with and to do what we can.
Well, thank you for making the effort to come over and meet with us. We appreciate
it.
We'll pursue this anyway and see where we can go.
Obviously, we do have the safety of the school children in mind. I know there's been, at this point, no accidents there, and we hope that it will continue that way. But truly, that little road is it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
we're
trying
to have a little area now so that the kids can walk, and we're getting it oiled out, but you're still on kind of property there, so it's never
going to
be a big road.
Well, thank you for getting those measures in place. We appreciate that, and thanks very much.
And I apologize. Well, you said that you've had an emergency, and I knew that it had, and so I tried to call you back, and I said to Jerry, well, maybe we better just go and give it like it was, because I didn't know how I'm
glad. Well, this will at least get the ball rolling, so thank
you. That's what I hoped it would do, that we could all be together and understand what, and like Bryn said, they're very willing.
Yeah.
It's just a question of getting it moving forward and get back with us and let us know what's
going on. Working it work for everyone. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to us today.
Sure. We will go ahead and have the principal report.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you board members for your continued support and your staff. The district office, so you continually get a fit of cotton with elementary school. And my continued effort, and everyone here is school improvement. It just is in the foremost of my mind all the time and conveyed to my teachers and the students. And of course, nowadays, we have a lot of different ways of testing and looking at what we're doing, being able to look at the kids' test scores and being able to figure out a plan and what we can do to continually improve. And what we're doing now is we're using EduTest and UTIP, or two of our computerized system programs, used through the district. And the more the teachers work with the programs, the better they understand them, the better they can use them, the better they can correlate. They're correlated directly to the course in reading, math, and science. And so they can not only get a general idea of their classes, but of each student, exactly where the holes are. And as they use those throughout the year, they can diagnose and they can, as much time as they have, they put into improving in those areas where kids need some extra help. And what we're doing this year, besides those tests, of course, DIBELS is the major reading test that is given. It's not a computerized test, but it's a teacher-given, individualized test. The teacher meets with each student and administers this test individually to each student. And as the student responds and works with the teacher gets to know the reading level the student's on, the reading ability of the student, the fluency of the student, the comprehension of the student, and from there we use running records and different tests that even help zero in closer on where the student is. And what we've done now this year is we have two sets of folders on every student of the office. And as we administer these tests at the beginning of the year, the folders are marked for every grade level. Every teacher has their own set of folders. And the students that are below grade level have a red marking on them. Students that are on grade level have a yellow mark. And the students that are above grade level have a green mark. And of course, the only ones that have access to these or look at these are the teachers, myself, and my secretary, and the resource staff. And what I do is, the first thing I do is I grab the red folders, meet with those involved with that child, and we determine a plan. We look at the whole, and we decide what we can do to help that student improve in reading and mathematics, or whatever the shortcoming might be. And then we decide how often that we need to meet, and we follow through with those meetings and set agendas and meet with the teacher and retest the student and just see if what we're doing, what our prescriptions are working. If not, we get together as a group and we develop a different plan. We continue to work on that until we're making some difference. And we do that we're doing that right now in the two major areas of reading and mathematics. Also, I purchased just recently a 4 or 5 by 3 whiteboard that I put in this room over here. It's against the wall. It's in a place where it's non-conspicuous. The only ones that can see it are teachers and staff that will be working with the students and myself. And it will contain every student in our school, and it will be color-coded also. And so we can go in at a glance and look at that. And the thing is, the reason the color code, the reason is because if a student starts out as a red student, and then the second time the test is given, you know, the second quarter, the second time, they either move into hopefully the yellow area or the green area. We can tell if they're making progress there. If they stay in the red area, they're not. If a yellow student moves down, you know, the student keeps the same color all year long. The student will move down. If you see a yellow student moving down into the red area, that throws up a caution flag. And so that, you know, draws our attention to that student. And we start incorporating that student into the same area so we can deliver the help needed to move that student back up where they need to go. Hopefully we move the red students into the green area, is what we're trying to do. But anyway, it gives us a chance so we can quickly see where we need to put our efforts. And not only having the test there, but then the test help us to determine prescriptions for these students and help. And so I think I really like what's happening with it. So far it's running smoothly, and the teachers, there's so many together in a group, we don't run out of ideas. We will not run out of ideas. That's, you know, I don't want that to happen. We have several teachers who are involved in the math endorsement program. Of course, several have finished the reading endorsement program. Achieved a master's degree in reading, and now, of course, they have a math endorsement program. And it's fun to go in the classrooms and see these teachers improve. And one of the major ways that I've noticed the improvement in the teachers is in their philosophy. I have teachers that 2 years ago didn't believe it was important that students needed to know the meaning behind what they were doing just so they did the work. And now they see how important it is. I mean, we don't do work that we don't understand what the meaning is going to be, the outcome is going to be. And the same thing for kids. You know, when you develop meaning and a purpose behind what you're doing, it makes the work worthwhile, and the kids try harder. And of course, this year we are in the process right now of purchasing the new math program, and it's going to be really fun to see that being put into place. And I know it's going to take a little while to get it in there, but we'll get it there and have a lot more on-hand mathematics, which will incorporate a lot more meaning with the students, a lot more understanding with mathematics. And I think it's going to be very good. Lorraine Franson is in charge of our STAR reading program. And our STAR reading program, what it is a volunteer reading program where we have adults that come into the reading, come into the school and read with students. But it's not just listen to them read. The STAR reading program is developed by the state, and it's a very intense reading program. And those people are trained to work with students. They are almost scripted to where they say this, the student does this, and they can make difference in students' lives. It's a proven program. It's a research-based driven proven program. We still use the peer tutoring program, which is a tremendous program where the fifth grade students tutor the first and second grade students in reading, and they're taught how to do that. We purchase materials and books and incentive awards that go along with that, and it's completely supervised all the time. The little kids are there with the bigger kids, and it helps develop friendships on the playground and any place else. But the thing that's really neat is to listen to the second grade teachers talk about the tremendous gains they've seen since this program was initiated 4 or 5 years ago, and it's still going on. It's one of they would do almost anything not to give up this program. Hmm. Because not only do the second graders learn, you know, who teaches learns also. And so when those fifth graders learn the teaching skills necessary to help little kids learn, they're cementing those phonic skills in themselves. Our PTO is involved in reading. We have them in reading more than anything else this year. And they have a program where I know some places they use a certain amount of books that the kids have to read for incentive, but not all kids are on the same level, and so not all kids can read the same books. So we're really not making that fair to all students. What we do here is K through 2, we expect the kids to read 15 minutes a night, 5 nights a week, and just have the parents sign off on a sheet. And 3 through 6, they read 20 minutes a night, 5 nights a week. And it doesn't seem like it's, you know, that much big beyond, you know, what they're asked to do. Just a little bit of free reading at home. And the PCO completely track it. They keep track of the papers coming in. And at the end of each quarter, we try and think of some neat activity to have these kids participate in so they can feel rewarded for their activity at home. And the last time we had a little popcorn movie in the gym and set up the projector and everything and pop popcorn and have some pop for the kids. Any child that wants to attend can, because they're reading on their own level. You know, it's not limited. And we are getting to where we have almost the whole school right now, which is really cool. We're still concentrating on making sure the teachers are through faculty meeting and different meetings where we keep bringing the big five back, the most important reading parts, to make awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension skills, and renewing those with teachers and going back over the text that we studied and learned those skills with so that they can keep using those. As we diagnose these kids that are having problems, we bring what we've learned from those texts into that area. This year we purchased lesson maps for the school. I just wanted to tell you what one looks like. This is the fifth grade. And each grade has one that's actually that complicated. A teacher for instance, Grand County is totally involved in it. Ogden School District is squared by it. And these lesson maps were developed for our basal, specifically for the Houghton Mifflin basal that we use in the Emory School District. They might use a different basal, and so their lesson maps are developed for their basal. And these go completely with our basal, day by day, take a teacher and guide them through a 3-hour reading, intense reading program. And I've visited school.
Can we see that?
I visited schools where you cannot believe. This is one of the areas that where research has proven this works. Ogden has schools where every 4 to 5 weeks they might have 30% different kids in that classroom. Those kids just rotate around the city as their homes. You know, they get late on their payments, they go someplace else. But this ties the reading program so close together that Ogden and San Juan, what they do, every teacher in the fifth grade is on the same page, same lesson, same page. And so when those kids go from school to school, they pick up right where they left off. And they don't miss a thing.
Nice. Yeah.
They don't skip a beat. And I've seen where they've brought their reading scores from the 20th percentile to the 70th percentile. Now that's quite a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get talking about a classroom that has 50% Hispanic kids who, ESL kids, who can't even speak English, you know. I mean, they've made some terrific reading gains. And these were quite expensive for our schools to purchase. It was, this old school was $4,000 to buy those for each teacher. They came as a CD, and each one of those we had to copy for the teachers and put together. But we had some training last year on it, 3 days training.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we need more training on it again this year. But as long as teachers understand it, the better they understand it, the more parts they can pick and use. And it gives, especially the younger grade teachers, boy, it will focus them completely on the skills kids need to have to learn how to read. Also, where it is so helpful is you get older grade teachers who never had the training. You know, they say, what do I do with a kid that can't even sound out a word, you know? This will walk them through step by step, directly correlated to our reading baseball, page by page. And it's a program. And I think most of our elementary schools purchase it, so I'm quite happy with that. I don't want to really take up all your time, but I'm excited about a lot of the things we're doing here at this school. And we have our action team. The way we work our action team, instead of voting in and having that, you know, the same old kids get the same old things all the time, we have an action team where all the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade kids can apply. And they apply, and we draw the names out of the hat for the captain and co-captain and all the kids, but all the kids on the action team, they're divided up into quarters. And so they get assigned so many kids to each classroom to help the teachers, and the teachers will call for those kids out of class, and they get to go help the class with their art project, or if we're having an activity in the gym, they go down and get those little kids, and they sit by them, they help teach them how to behave in the gym, and they help them on the playground. That's their class. They take care of those little kids. And I think that's one of the things that's missing in school is across the grade coordination and responsibility, helping know if it's teach the younger kids responsibility. So I really like that. Another thing we're doing right now is on the 25th of April, we have an author time to visit our school. It's going to be fun. They'll talk about some of the books she's written. She's published, she has quite a few, and they can purchase. People can purchase through Amazon, so she's a well-published author. On March 28th, I got in contact with the University of Utah, where they have, it's not the same engineering state that we always use out of Utah State. This is a new program, and just happens to be one of the kids that's involved in the engineering program there has a nephew in our school. And so we were able to grab a hold of them, and they'll come down and spend the day and bring these friends. They have an outreach program where they will service every grade and help the kids with really fun engineering projects throughout the day. We have a theater group that's coming on April 8th. This is one that's sponsored by the state, and the state pays most of the money. We have to pay, I think it's $178 is our school portion, but it's people that teach kids about theater and what's required to be, you know, sometimes we forget about the arts, I think. And also, Doug Johnson and myself, we were talking, we are going to put together some kind of something for kids. We always service the kids who really need the help, but the kids who are above and beyond, it seems like we forget those kids. And we're going to try to put together something that incorporates math and science and technology and have it so, I don't know if it's going to be after school or what it's going to be, but it's going to be something for these kids who are ready and able to be there and, you know, would appreciate the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to be really fun. And I just wanted to say that I am still as excited about school as the first day I taught. I'm not quite as nervous as the first day I taught. I had 48 fifth graders that day. that I really enjoy working with these kids. It's a wonderful job. It's the best job in the world. We have excellent teachers here. We're just like a family. Our sixth grade teacher just had breast surgery today and had a mastectomy. We've been following her really close, and she's doing well. She came home, well, she had the surgery yesterday. She's coming home today, and looks like things are going pretty well for her. And so we're everybody's really concerned, and we're following her well, and it's just like a, Cottonwood is really like a family. It really is. Are there any questions? Sorry, it took so much time. I wasn't supposed to take so much time.
Thank you. Thank you for educating us and helping us to know what you're doing. That's nice. That's what we like to hear.
It is tremendous. It is a tremendous program. And it will take, as you can see, it's pretty complicated, and we're going to have some more things to work, but it is well worth it.
Thank you, and it's evident that you still have that enthusiasm, and pass on our appreciation to your staff and those that work
here.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
We will go to the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you. You know what my report is.
I'll just wait for him.
I don't know if they're done yet or not, but I can only give you a report up until 5 o'clock this afternoon. I'm following it pretty intensely. I have passed some papers and pages to my report, and I'm not going to go clear through them all. I know you're happy about that, but the last report I had, and I was in there all day Monday, and on Monday we got word that the legislature, because of the downturn economy, they were taking all of the bills, all of the funding, the bills they wanted to fund, and they were putting them in one package, one bill, which turned out to be Senate Bill 2, referred to as the Omnibus Bill. And as we met, I'm talking about the Education Coalition that I'm a member of, which consists of the presidents of all of the education organizations in the state, including UEA, State PTA, Elementary Secondary Principal Association, the School Boards Association, Superintendent Association. We decided on Monday at about 1 o'clock to call a press conference for 4 o'clock. We got in contact with all of the media. We had all of the major TV stations there, all of the newspapers, and there were 4 of us that spoke at that. Fortunately, I didn't see myself on TV, although somebody gave me a picture here.
We want to see it.
Well, it's just kind of JJ. He just kind of sounded, I'm on the news thing. He just wanted to know who the outcast was. I want you to know that I had just finished speaking when UEA's president came up, and I just stepped back. I'm not antisocial. The message that we wanted to send to the media was that when there's a downturn in the economy, it's not a year that you start new programs. It's a year that you fund the weighted pupil unit. And obviously, they didn't listen. The media did not carry it well for us. I've attached a couple of news articles, one from the Tribune and one from the Deseret News, that came out the day after that press conference that we held. The Tribune did quote me once, but what I've given you is a list of the bills that are in there. There's a tax package that's in that, and those are tax cuts that if they were to keep those in there would equal at least 1% on the WPU. And then there's Senate Bill 2, and there's a list of 12 bills that are listed there that they want to fund. And if they were to take out the educator compensation adjustment, which is a $1,700 per teacher, there would still be enough there for another 1.5% on the WPU. They did fund the WPU at 2.5%. And if you take the programs that are here and take out the teacher compensation, there would still be enough for another 1.5%, which would give you 4% on the WPU and the $1,700 compensation. But they elected not to do it. 3 of those bills that are listed there they actually failed in the House or the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were brought back as part of this bill because they are special, they're really pet projects of several legislators, including Senate Bill 35, which is Howard Stevenson's $5,000 for math and science teachers, charter school funding. House Bill 278 failed, and it came back, and the reason it has a negative number is because that money is not state money. That's money the school districts would pay the charter schools.
Mm,
for every student that you have that goes to a charter school, you would have to take all of the tax dollars that you collect that are based on a per student weighting and give it to the charter school other than bond payment taxes. Now, that one failed, and it was brought back. So this is Senate Bill 2, and it's my understanding it has passed. I don't know if all of those bills survive it. There's a couple I do want you to move to change if you have a pen. If you go down to House Bill 363, which is Arts Enhancement Learning Programs, that $15,820,000, that should be over in the one-time money category. You see where I'm at? It's the $15,820,000. That move that over. It's one-time money. And also Senate Bill 118, the last one, Education Transportation, that $3 million should be moved over. It's one-time money. I would like to just say a couple of things about a couple of these bills. House Bill 67 is the extended year for special educators. We all supported that. It basically would give $200 a day for up to 10 days for special ed teachers to do their IEP paperwork and other things. Now, the $2.9 million would only fund 3 days, according to our calculations. That started out as right around $10-12 million.
Hmm.
The bill still says up to 10 days, but it would only fund 3 days. Arts Enhancement Learning Programs, $15,820,000. That's to hire an arts specialist for 50 elementary schools in the state of Utah. And it's one-time money. Now, as I calculate that, it doesn't say in the bill, it's probably over a three-year period, because if you take 50 schools and you figure about $100,000 for an arts specialist plus $10,000 in supplies, that it says in the bill, another thing, that would only be, what would that be?
$5 million.
So this may be, it doesn't say, but it may be a three-year project. But it's still, it's one-time money, so it's going to go away. And then the education transportation, another $3 million. The intent was this year to get, I think, $9 million in ongoing money so that that formula could be changed. And we ended up with $3 million one time. You have to keep in mind that last year we got $9 million in one time money. So this is actually a $6 million cut statewide in transportation funding over last year.
Kurt, is the arts enhancement? So how are the 50 schools chosen?
It's a grant program. The money is given to the state office of education, and then I think they're going to allocate it out based on the number of students that you have. And, or I don't even know, it may be one per district, except for larger districts. It doesn't really say.
Okay.
But you apply for it. If you want the money, you have to apply for it, and then it's awarded, and then you have to report how it's used. And it's not a bad thing, it's just that it's hard to hire an art specialist for 1 to 3 years, and then it's gone. I've given you a description of the bills that were in that omnibus bill. You know, if you have any questions on them, I'm not going to go through them because I've gone through most of them already. On the second page, there's just two bills I want to make you aware of down under other bills that were not in that package. If you go down to House Bill 332, this is the one that requires you to make your school buildings available to everybody and anybody, and you can't deny anybody use it. Passed.
My goodness.
It passed unanimously in the Senate. I can't remember the vote in the House. I guess the good news is that I don't expect it to really impact us heavily. My only concern is if you have groups that come and want to use your facilities who are questionable in nature as far as their character, I might say. But the bill still would allow you to charge rent, and it would still allow you to require liability insurance coverage. And it's one of those bills where somebody somewhere wanted to use a school building and was denied it, so they called their legislator. It's absolutely the way most bills get started. The other one is the capital outlay equalization, Senate Bill 48. This four S's, the fourth substitute, and actually there's a fifth substitute since noon today. And basically this was the one we were worried about initially when we talked about capital equalization. It could have cost us $1.5 million. This one actually gives every district in the state some money except Park City. I can spend a lot of time explaining to you how that's figured out, but it's basically your average daily membership as compared to your tax base, your property tax base. And if you're at the state average, you get so much. If you're less than the state average by so much, you get more. So that those who need it, supposedly need it the worst, get it. But every district in the state would get money out of it except Park City. So that one isn't going to kill us. So that's what's going on at the legislature. I did attach three emails for your information. I have been in contact with our legislators. When we heard about the omnibus bill, I sent an email to all of them. I have the responses there from Brad King and Mike Dimitrich. Basically, there's the big part is the message I sent expressing my concern about the kind of politics that's being played up there with education. And that I got the response back from them. They all agree with me. Kay McKiff, I just got a response at 5 o'clock this afternoon from him. I barely got it. And then I expressed some additional concerns I had about the fact that the WPU is not giving other employees anything as far as salary adjustments. But I have to say our legislators support education. They support what we want them to do. It's just that they're all in the minority, other than Kay McKiff, and he's generally supportive. But right now it looks like 2.5% on the weighted pupil unit. But again, they're still in session. It could go up. I don't think it'll go down, but it could still go up, hopefully. Oh, there was one other piece. In this omnibus bill, they also had included $19 million, actually it's $25 million, but $19 million of that would have been to give performance bonus merit pay to teachers. It was one-time money, so based on next year, you'd have to write a plan to the state office and to the legislature on how you would give bonuses to your best teachers. And then the expectation is that they wouldn't all get it, and that you have criteria, and that you rate them, and that you would give them a bonus. That piece was not in the last version of Senate Bill 2 that I saw at 5 o'clock. Mm. But it still could show up somewhere else. It was not in that bill. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't even want the money. I've got to do that. But that's where we're at. We'll see what happens by morning. I guess you can read it in the newspaper in the morning.
Okay.
But we have desperately tried to track it. I've been up there one day a week at least, and some weeks 2 days a week, and been right in the middle of it all and meeting with our legislators and with others.
Well, we appreciate what you've done there. That is a... It's quite the fight you're taking on.
I honestly believe that Senate Bill 2 is their way of striking back over the vouchers.
I read that and I thought...
I think it's exactly what happened.
I was surprised that they weren't doing anything. So this is kind of what we expected.
Well,
thank you. Business Administrator's Report?
I don't have anything else.
You don't.
Wow.
Okay, wow.
We
just
have a cold meeting. We have
a bowl on that guy someday.
Any public comments?
You know, I have a comment.
Sure.
Just a question. A
I thought I'd see the schedule for this year. You know, the SELT count day is right after spring break. I wonder if it would be advisable for all of the principals to be sure that they send a note home or the phone message or so on to be sure they point that out to people.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that we may not have everyone aware of that.
Okay, we can do that.
Oh, that's right. So we're off Thursday, Friday.
Exactly. Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. It didn't make sense to come back on Tuesday and then take Friday off. So we just moved it up to.
It is on our month's schedule. Thank you for
We have to do performance bonus. Kim, I'll turn it over to you to figure out how to write it.
Kind of
what I thought. We had that years ago. It was literal H-E-L-E-1.
Okay, now we can have the motion, too.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Excuse
me. There's Terry White's thing. I just hit it. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, be careful.
I saw an antelope hit on the road on the way up.
Yeah.